Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show, baby. This is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Taking a break from painting tonight for a little bit here. We have got a fantastic show, just a fantastic guest. I was just talking to her before we came on the air, and man, I have been playing, well, I should say, introduce her, Emily Zuzik, I believe, right? I'm probably saying that wrong.
Zuzik. Music with a Z. Yep.
I love it. I shall never forget it now. That's outstanding.
Memes are good like that.
I'm telling you. Now, Emily, you've lived all over. I was looking through my show notes here, but you grew up Northern California?
No, I grew up outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But I lived, let's see, where haven't I lived to some extent? I went to school, college in upstate New York in Syracuse. And then after graduation, I moved to New York City for a year. And then I moved to San Francisco for about 4.5. And then I moved back to New York for about 10. And then I moved to LA. It's going on 6 years.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, there was a brief stint of a couple months outside of Austin, too. So, to be fair.
You met a cowboy, right? I'm joking.
There's
no,
a little bit
cool.
of truth in that. I didn't meet him, but we went there. So
I got you. Well, once you get to Southern California, it's hard to, once you spend a February in Southern California, it's hard to go back to where it's snowy and bad. You know, it's just, I don't know, your bones suddenly are like, no, I don't want to do that.
It's true. I don't know. Even though you could pretty much go anywhere and not even chink the armor once you've lived 4 years in Syracuse, New York. So
that's,
I have those, that sort of armor, very tough armor. So, but
man,
yeah, it's really nice. I'm not a particular fan of when it goes through heat snaps like we're currently in,
right?
Because I don't think it's a humane way to live when it's over 100 degrees outside. But, the winters when it's rainy and like 65 every day, it's pretty great. And you're about an hour from like snow, so you can always kind of go to the mountains with Big Bear or something and go and get your snow play on. And then you can drive home the same day. It's crazy.
Go surfing. It's absolutely crazy.
It's
That's
true. You can do that.
It is. It's
snow and surf.
In the same day. I've known people that do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And there's nothing like, people always tell me, that haven't lived in Southern California. My back East friends would always say, well, we really like the seasons here. And I'm like, you know what? You haven't lived till you've hung Christmas lights and flip flops. It's there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. I do miss seasons. That's my, it's definitely a thing from someone who's lived in the Northeast. It's part of your DNA. I miss it. We had the most seasonal year last year because we had such a long, by Southern Californian standards, winter.
Right.
That was like, for me, it was like an eternal fall, and fall's my favorite season. So of course I was loving it, but, seasons. I do miss them. So I usually try to get back East once a year. It doesn't always work out, but if I can time it, I try to time it for, pre-holiday season, sort of fall. That's a lovely time to go back.
Well, let me ask you, when you were a girl growing up outside of Pittsburgh, were you a music girl? Were you performing and taking lessons and into all that?
A little bit. Yeah, I was always a singer. I'd always been singing, and I had records I sang along with. And then I was given a guitar that I took interest in around 11 or 12, and I started taking guitar lessons. Before that, I had been playing clarinet in band and sang in choir. But when I started taking guitar lessons, I also discovered the Beatles. And it was like, it's that thing that hits at like anywhere between 11 and 12 with kids where they like find their thing that they become obsessed with, that they love. So
right.
I don't know if it happens for all kids, but if it does happen, it tends to happen around then. And so I found the Beatles, who became like the roadmap for all the writing I would do forever after and how I would judge music, because I loved what they did so much. And then I was playing and I simultaneously started writing at the same time. There's not much from that era that's ever played out, but it's, you know, getting into that, finding that that's what you wanted to do and working at it and trying to get better at it. That was, you know, that was sort of where I was. So, yeah, I mean, I also did theater and I would do photo club in high school and I drew, you know, I'm kind of artsy fartsy all around the map, but, you know, my real passion was always music.
Well, I tell you, the Beatles will do it to you. I always
They're
knew
just
like
really diverse too, which I like. You know,
oh, absolutely,
it's nice
absolutely.
To see
I
the
always,
evolution of an act.
I'm telling you, and they went and mastered like every genre. It was you know, that's why they're fantastic. You know, a few years. Well, gosh, it's been about 15, 20 years ago now. 17. Actually, now that I think about it, I got a commission. I had to do these Beatles paintings. I knew nothing other than, you know, I want to hold your hand and
right.
something about Sergeant Pepper. And my my ex-wife at the time, she was a big Beatles fan like yourself. And she said, hold on, don't even pick up a pencil. Don't even start sketching yet. And she left, and they still had record stores in those days. And she went and bought me the entire catalog of the Beatles on CD and
wow.
brought it home and said, your job for the next 20 hours is to take this journey so you'll know how to paint them. You know what I mean? So you'll know how to do it.
Right.
And
she was smart to point you that way, because it would be easy to just like look at pictures and, you know, do paint
right,
by numbers
right,
sort
right.
of approach.
Oh man. And I went through it, you know, I mean, I went through the mop top era, and then, you know, I was, you know, just with them, sitting with the yogi and, you know,
right,
digging
right.
Rocky Raccoon and Maxwell Silverhammer. I was, so I get what you're saying. That's cool that you figured that out, though, at that age. You know, I've met people 60 years old who haven't quite got that. You know,
that's
they
true.
They don't know their moment.
Yeah, I was lucky. I found something, and I fell into circumstances, you know, at different points in my life, which have allowed me to pursue it, whether it's a belief that I should do it and to let go of what others' expectations for me should be, or, you know, just coming into a part-time job, which made it possible to always hire a band and not worry about it, you know? So there've been different chapters of my life that have helped me out in that respect. And I feel very fortunate to have had those things happen. It makes me happy.
Well, it should. You're the list of people you've played with, and I mean, obviously you're good at meeting people. I don't know how it's such a diverse group of people.
My effervescent personality.
I'm telling you, you just go to a lot of parties, or how does this happen? You know.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I met probably the most amount of people when I was living in places like San Francisco and New York, and, you know, LA to some extent. But those two towns in particular, the first two, are very good for meeting people, because, for one, when I was in San Francisco, the thing, I was there in the mid to late 90s, the first dot-com boom. And so it was still had sort
gotcha.
Of a small, kooky town to it. And I didn't have a car, so, like, I rode my bike everywhere. And so I just got to know my neighborhood and the people who, you know, ran the bodegas and the boutiques and the people who hung at the bars. And that was, and I played with a bunch of bands there that had friend circles attached to each band. So, but you got to know people very quickly there, just because it had a small town feel to it at the time. And then in New York, nobody has big places there. I mean, some people do, and they stay in their big places probably. But people who don't have big places leave their apartments and go to bars and go to, you know, I don't know where else they go to, because I went to bars, you know. It was like that and some other different cafes. But I wasn't like a clubber. So, like, I didn't go to the club. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different, you know, wing of the New York experience. And but, you know, you just meet people, and then you go out to see other people play live, and then you'd meet their friends, and then you'd collaborate, and you'd work on group shows together. And so it becomes a tight-knit community. And that's what both of those cities gave me, were these really tight-knit musical communities and friend communities that, you know, every time you meet someone, you meet like five other people, really, you know, because eventually you start meeting their friends, and their friends meet you, and their friends meet other friends, and you introduce them to your friends. And, you know, it becomes a big spider web of connections. And I've tried very hard over the years to keep up with people. I'm not always great with it. And sometimes you have to like say, okay, well, how much time do you have in your life, and who are the people that matter most? And so you have to like shuffle your time around, because you're not going to get any more. So, but I do try to keep up with people, and I, you know, sometimes I'm good at it, sometimes I'm not. You know, I'm sure there's someone out there who'll be like, she sucks at keeping up with people, you know? And I'll be like, well, maybe I was to them. I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to say it. So I don't know.
Well,
you get to meet people, and you work with other people, and they recommend you for jobs or something, and that's how you meet more people.
See, and that's the cool thing, is where you can parlay it into, you know, this project feeds into that project, and
people
you
like
keep
to
it
work
all going.
With people that they get along with too. You know, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to necessarily. I may know a lot of really talented people, but some of them I'm just not going to work with, because like it's a lot of drama, or it's just a lot of work. Because maybe you're doing more of the heavy lifting or whatever. And so, you know, the people where it's effortless and it's fun and you're having a good time and you're doing good work, you're like, I want to work with you all the time, you know. And I've been lucky. I've had a few of those people who I've worked with for very long stretches of time on, you know, not all the time, but we'll do a project and then we'll go off and do some other stuff. And then we'll, you know, 3 years later, like Tim LaFave is the first person that comes to my mind, because we've done two records together. He's recorded on, I met him when I made my first studio record. And then we've done, you know, songs here and there where he's played, he's been in my live band. I've sung on, you know, he used to be part of this project called Boomish that had some live productions that I was involved with. So we've just collaborated off and on throughout the years. And there's other people that I've done that with over time as well. But he's probably the one I've done it most with. And I'm just lucky because he's such a badass player. And he also has another diverse appreciation for all kinds of music. Some people really love
kinds
of music, but they kind of do like one thing pretty consistently. But he's not afraid to take risks. And, you know, God bless him for it, because he's just, you know, I don't think I've heard one thing he's tried to do that he didn't do really well. So I'm lucky that he wants to work with me. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, hey, we've got some tracks that they sent over here.
Cool.
And I want to play them tonight. We've got four tracks we're going to play tonight. We've got, what should we do first? We've got Gravity, All That Love, Motels, or Tender. What are you feeling?
Well, we could do it in that order, and I could kind of give a little history each of these, because they're not necessarily chronological. But I figure we'll start with the one that's the least like most of what I've done. I shouldn't even say that, because across the board, I go back and forth between like this roots rock thing, country rock thing, and something like electronica, downtempo, EDM. So like I live in those two worlds a lot over my musical career. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say, let's start with Gravity, because it was from the project I released with Tim last October called Angelinos. And originally I had intended to have it be a project called Angelinos and not have my name necessarily attached to it. But it became clear that everybody's schedule wasn't going to allow it to actually be something that would ever really have a live incarnation. So Tim's like, you should just release it under your own name and call it Angelinos. And I'm like, all right. But it's definitely down the road of a very collaborative EP record that with a ton of people from New York and LA, big names on it. And Gravity was probably one of the first songs that I brought to Tim saying, like, I think I want to do this. And this is one of the ones that's sort of done. Because I was playing with a MIDI keyboard in my home studio, and this was one of the first ones. And it's most different than the other three that I sent. So this is Gravity from Angelinos.
Yeah.
And we'll go
with
that.
And here it is. Yeah, here it is, folks. Check it out. I like this track a lot. I like all these tracks. Here it is, Gravity.
Thank you.
Reach out for
I love it. I love it. I love it. Gravity. Emily Zuzik. Zuzik. Music with a Z. What am I saying? Zuzik. Ah, I forgot, Emily. And Emily's button's not pushed, so she's probably laughing at me and nobody's hearing. Sorry about that. Nothing but professional.
No worries. No worries.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like that track. I like that track a lot.
Thank you.
It's very cool.
Thank you.
I think it's cool. I like how you run in the electronica race as well, you know. I dig that kind of
thing. Well, I did spend a fair amount of my younger years listening to bands like New Order and Depeche Mode, too. So, you know, it's all – like my first records were Elvis Presley. But then somewhere along the line, I came across the Hair soundtrack. And then I found the Beatles and all the 60s music. And I listened to a jukebox Saturday night radio show with my parents when I wasn't old enough to go out by myself. And so I kind of got steeped in a lot of different musical styles. But, you know, when I was in junior high and high school, it was Pixies, Depeche Mode, The Cure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a little more new wave. So there's a synthy background in a dance, and I used to go to, you know, underage dance clubs, whether it was like hip hop or, you know, goth industrial night. So it's like it's all over the map. And but it informs the way you write. And the thing I always liked was, I guess it would have been the late 90s, early 2000s, when that whole like trip hop or down tempo happened. Because I was like, this is what. And they were even doing it with crossover artists in the songwriter genre, where they were like blending beats and certain synths, but with a songwriter sensibility. And I was like, this makes sense to me. It's kind of stirring the pot and making it, you know, not just a folky at a coffee house and not just a rock band. It's taking a song and having it live in a different, you know, instrumentation, but it still works. So why not try
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. I remember at that time I was it was my first trip to Paris, and I'm thinking when you were describing that scene, my mind was wandering, as that's what happens when you get old, folks. No, I'm kidding. But I was at this really fancy restaurant that had weird shaped things for chairs, and you know, there was a little it was a gal on a little pedestal there, and she was. This was at lunchtime. I was going to lunch with some people, and you know, and she was DJing these little trip hop beats and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, this is only in Paris. This is so cool, you know. And I'm like, I must have a trip hop DJ at every art show in the future ever. And I did for you know, next 10 years. Absolutely. But yeah, that was a cool scene. I dug that scene, that sound too. It you know, it's
I still
that's
do
one
work
thing
in
I
it.
Love
I mean,
about
I've got
music.
A friend.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I still do work in it. I have collaborators that I write with even now who, you know, eventually they'll be like, I got tracks that we worked on 7 years ago. We're going to remix them. We got some like grime guys who are going to like rap over them, and we're going to re-release them on vinyl. It's like, cool, let's do this. Or if you need extra, you know, to write to a track, send it over. Because I do a lot of this sort of collaborative stuff in home studios, like track sent. Mm-hmm. I do my thing. I send strip out the tracks, send them back. They remix them, you know. And that's the way most EDM is actually done. You know, it's rare you get like everybody in the
right.
room. So, yeah.
Well, a lot of the people are
I think
all
it's
over
still there.
The
it's just
planet.
Not as, all over the planet.
Yeah, no, you're you know, tracks or this part of the track to, you know, it's very crazy how a lot of the DJs and whatnot work. Dropbox, you know.
Yeah, it's true. So, I have all those.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now, save 50% off everything at Gap Factory and 50 to 70% off everything at Banana Republic Factory. That's right, 50% off or more on everything in stores and online. Save with tees starting at $6.99 and 40% off clearance at Gap Factory stores. And at Banana Republic Factory stores, fabulous tops start at $9.99 and 50% off clearance. Hurry! Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store or shop us online.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with their rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Hey folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, remember when you order from Metal Babe Mayhem, when you check out, there's a little space there, and put in my code, PopRocks, P-O-P-R-O-X-X, PopRocks. And what it does is it saves you 20% off your whole order. How about that? How about that? Very, very cool. So yeah, don't forget, when ordering from Metal Babe Mayhem, use my code, PopRocks. Now back to the show.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
ROCKS Gear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Now, with songwriting, is there a like a process that you normally go through, or does it when the muse strikes you and you want to knock a song
depends.
Out?
Depends. Sometimes when I'm working with co-writers, it's their schedule more than my own. I'm lucky. I don't have like a regular day job that's my part time. A lot of people, like when they're doing music or art, have, you know, particular hours they have to go somewhere for, you know, whatever money job they're doing. And I've always been freelance. So my schedule, like, it changes from day to day, sometimes from hour to hour. And, you know, for that reason, I'm usually like, okay, you tell me where your pockets of freedom are, because I don't know if you're teaching or if you're playing with somebody else's band. Cause a lot of people that you write with who you're doing collaborations with are also like session players, whether they're in the studio or out on the road with other artists. So, you know, you find the time, at least with a lot of the collaborations. I constantly have ideas. I'm speaking or singing or writing into my phone. I have a notes section with titles and lyric ideas. I have sonic things. Sometimes I'll just be playing guitar. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I'll record it in the voice memos. So I have like folders of things. And most people who are writers or composers keep those sorts of files. I don't know how they keep them, but for me, so I always have stuff with my phone and my computer. Sometimes I'll just be playing and I'll have paper and like I'll look down in a half hour and the song will be pretty sketched out. And that's a beautiful thing when that happens, because usually you were just the conduit. It's probably a pretty good song, but
that's amazing.
It's all over the place, you know, and then I'll go stretches where I don't do anything. And I'll just be like, oh, I got to get back to that, or, oh, do it. And like, I feel like I'm banging my head up against a wall trying to rewrite lyrics.
Right.
I have been collaborating with people a lot in the last few years, because it does keep me a little more on the point of, like, you got to finish the song. You can't just let it slide. So.
Oh, yeah. Boy, you see it happening a lot in the music business. I tell you where you see it a lot. Two with the genres that they're masters of it, the hip hop genre and the country genre. They love collaborating. And I think it's smart,
yeah,
because it gets
20 names as writers on a song. Right. Well, no, there's a theory, too, in a lot of those environments that if you're in the room playing when the song is being worked out, then you get a percentage of the writing.
Oh, which, really?
I don't know how I feel about that, because I feel like in some cases the song is definitely a collaborative project. But sometimes you come in with a thing fully sketched out and people are just sort of adding icing to the cake, and there's something to be said
right.
for you collaborated on the sound recording, but I don't know that you necessarily collaborated on the writing. It's like a writer. This is like the writer versus the sound recording. But and we could go into the minutia of it, but it's not very interesting to anybody outside of, you know, the people who do this. And I don't have like 100%. I feel this way and 100%. I feel that way. So I take
right.
a case per case basis.
Well, you know, yeah. Take it as it comes. No, on this next track we're going to play, All That Love, this is
mm-hmm.
with Marwood.
With Benji Rogers. Yeah, Marwood.
Benji
Rogers. Essentially Benji Rogers of
gotcha.
Music. He's now not doing music in that capacity. He's a CEO,
really?
You know, and is kind of a speaker on that whole blockchain phenomenon. So this was many years ago. I think we wrote this in 2006, so it's 11 years old, and it's never officially been
wow.
released. I'm planning to re-record. I'm working long-term on a country-ish record, more country-ish
okay.
than I've done in the past. This is one of the songs I plan to do on it, just because we never really – we recorded, you know, demos of this, but we never went into the studio and really did it. So I'd like to do it with a band and fill it out a little bit more, maybe get a pedal steel on it and maybe upright bass, you know, just make it a more polished song. But I've always liked it, and it also shows the songwritery side of – what I've done over the years. So I figured it would be a good one to throw your way.
Well, here it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Here it is, folks. All That Love. Check it out.
It took bricks, mortar, and wood. Build a house the best that we could. And when the wind pulls it down, how do you let go? You pull a double shift. Sweat so hard, just try to make it fit. And your back's about to break, you're holding on. But it comes down to this, I wanted more. Got it made. It was so crystal clear. Now it's starting to fade. And if this house doesn't stand, what story would it tell? Then it came down to this. want more than you could give. We tore it up to make it fit. All that work for nothing. All I love to choose. All that love for nothing. All I love to lose. You got sober with a shrug. Left me to kick the drug. Reckoning time for me. Oh, how you wreck me. All that work for nothing.
What a great track. All That Love.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. And Emily, it's just fantastic, fantastic track.
I like that.
So you think you're going to revisit that? Let me ask you, Emily, as an artist, because my girlfriend Danny says I'm crazy, but I'll look at, I've been painting a long time, at least 20 years, and that I show people, I should say. And, I'll look at some of that early stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so much better now. I should just redo that whole period, redo all those paintings properly. And then, so they're, I'm not embarrassed to put them on the website. And she's like, oh no, it's a, that shows your period then. You have to keep that. You can't.
There's no erasing the earlier version. It's just you're representing it in a new way. It's like if someone else covered your song, reimagining
right.
it in a different way. I doubt I would change it, the style all that much, but I have some ideas for where it could go. And, I'm just curious to see how it'll turn out. That's the other thing is when you're making a record, it doesn't mean that everything you record is necessarily going to be on the record. So you never know.
That's true. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now, save 50% off everything at Gap Factory and 50 to 70% off everything at Banana Republic Factory. That's right, 50% off or more on everything in stores and online. Save with tees starting at $6.99 and 40% off clearance at Gap Factory stores. And at Banana Republic Factory stores, fabulous tops start at $9.99 and 50% off clearance. Hurry! Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store or shop us online.
Hey, everybody. Pop artist Jamie Rocks here. Hey, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger painting. They love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas. Perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. But it's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have four or five per week. up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal, but definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget. And, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now. Now, do you have a lot of like a lot of musicians I know, and it seems I got to tell you, all my friends are musicians. Other musicians are in the film and TV business, and you're probably the same way. But when you're a lot of musicians, I know that they keep a lot of they'll have a bunch of tracks. So when they put it out an EP or something, they're like, well, I've got 250 that I haven't released yet that I can choose from.
Right.
For this project, or do you start? You say, okay, we're going to do this project. Let's just start fresh with everything.
It's interesting because it depends. I think everything on Angelino's was written for that project, and this country project that I'm looking forward to doing. It's about there's a lot of new material, or material I've played live but I've never recorded. And I think it just depends on the artist. You know, there are people who have hundreds and hundreds of tracks they've never released. I don't have that many. I have a lot I haven't recorded, but some of them I don't feel are necessarily representative of what I'm trying to present as an artist. And
I gotcha.
Being that this is a solidly genre, well, I say it's solidly genre-specific album I'm working towards. It really isn't. It's still going to be a mix, but going to be the most disciplined effort I'm going to try to make, a country rock record or a roots rock record that doesn't really stray outside the lines too much. So in that case, I am trying to be deliberately writing toward that goal. I'm not very good at discipline in creative matters. So it is a process, and to some extent, I just kind of want to see where I go as a person by putting these restraints upon myself and my creativity, and just seeing if I focus, what can I achieve? Because I'm always very scattered, and I don't think they're bad things either one, but I've just never really seen that one perspective through the end of a project. So
right.
I'd like to do that.
That's amazing.
An intellectual journey.
You've released 7 records so far. That's
far.
A big number.
It is. You know, I write a lot, and I've been lucky to work with a lot of independent producers, so you can keep the overhead down. And, you know, to make a record, it doesn't necessarily cost a ton of money. It depends on how you're going to do it. I know that this record I'm going to take on is going to be a little more costly because I'm going to need more real players and more people in the room. And it's less about like, oh, I could just fly you the track and like drop it into the mix. Like I want to try to get people in the room and record it live and do some overdubbing, but you still have to rent the room and you pay the producer because it's not a friend producing it with their own studio, which has been a lot of my projects in the past. And I'm also not making New York wages anymore in my part-time job. So, like, the money is not quite as, you know, flowing as it used to be.
They've got that whole thing now, you know, of crowdfunding and stuff. A lot of people go that route.
Yeah, they have. I've never done it.
I haven't either.
I don't have anything against it. I've funded a lot of friends' projects, and I've thought about it, but most of the people I've worked with have had issue against it. So I'm like, well, I can't twist your arm. So if it's someone else's project, with me, it's a democracy. But since this is the first one that's been solely mine in many years, I have to think about that.
I'm amazed at some of them. There's fantastic that's not what I'm amazed at. I'm amazed at somebody will come up with some idea, for whatever project. And then they're like, I'm like, that person just made $140,000. You know, some of the numbers I see on that, I'm just like,
true.
And then
well,
others,
some people
which
have,
I think
but that's
are phenomenal.
Not the majority. You know, the majority
right,
is like,
no,
can
no.
I make it to, you know, several thousand dollars to fund, you know, the radio promo guy, you know? Because
right,
you think like
exactly.
several thousand dollars is going to cover recording, but it's not. It's going to be the recording, and then you got to get that for radio, and then you got to get it for like video promo because it's all about videos now, let alone video production. And there's a lot more pieces of the puzzle these days that you have to consider, or social media
absolutely.
Campaigns. So,
and it
it's
all,
a lot.
Yeah, it adds up. It adds up.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So let's do the next track. We're moving
okay.
on to motels this one. Tell us about motels.
Motels. Well, there's a couple things I could tell you about it. One, first off, just the recording was done for my last real studio record outside of Angelina's. Like my last
okay.
band roots rock record, which was 2011's The Wild Joys of Living. And the background on it is I used to run a songwriter's hang called What's in a Name, mm-hmm. where I had a list of songwriters who were interested in participating, and I would get a word from somebody not within the community. And then I would throw the word out to all the songwriters on the email list, and we would all get it, and I'd book a night a month in advance, and we'd get together a month later, and we'd all perform our songs that were inspired by or used the word that was sent out in the email. And
that's pretty neat.
It was a fun exercise. I wrote a bunch of music from that, and I actually know some other songwriters who participated regularly who, like, wrote 3-4 songs on their last record from it. So clearly it was a
wow.
good exercise for a lot of us. Plus, it, you know, it some people would just come out to see what people were doing because they were, you know, they weren't writers, but they were curious about songwriting and how people do it and how they would take a different word in different directions. I always found that very fun, too, like, how many different songs can you write with the word change in it, you know, and like, what do they all sound like and why did you write it that way? And I wrote, the word was motels or motel. It wasn't motels, but, and I wrote the song Motel. I always thought of that song as like an acoustic Queens of the Stone Age vibe. It's got like a harder, darker rock thing to it. I love Queens of the Stone Age. You know, that, and I also, the first line was actually a friend of mine had said that to me, like sometimes I go to, actually I know two writers who did that. They're like, sometimes I just go to hotels to write for the weekend. I'll just book a room and I'll just write.
Right.
That's such a neat idea. And so, you know, the first line is sometimes I go to motels to write and, you know, and then it opens up the page of like, oh wow, you're in this place by yourself that is regularly used by many people for good, bad, illicit purposes. Think of all the stories.
All right.
And when we made the video for that, we played off of that, like almost like the people who visit motels and how their stories were all lived out in this thing. And some of them were ghosts. And, you know, it just this whole idea of rooms containing many lives and many stories. And
I think it's awesome.
So that's motels.
That's fantastic. I'm thinking a few of those personal memories I've had of motels, and I'm going to think about them while we listen to the track. Here it is, folks. Motel.
Bedrooms do me good.
I love it.
Thanks.
And all the stories they tell, all the memories, all the echoes in there. That's
yeah,
very true.
Yeah, it's a
very true.
Fascinating places.
Oh, I'm telling you, I spent years ago, I can't even remember how long ago. It's got to be at least a decade ago. I went through a heartbreak, and you know, there's nothing worse than a creative guy going through a heartbreak. And I was fed up with San Diego, so I moved to Las Vegas in July. Like I said, I wasn't real smart.
Oh, that was smart.
I'm telling you. And, you know, you just, I don't, for some reason, at least in my life, a lot of, I wound up in a lot of hotels, not staying in them, but like people, I was meeting people and, or somebody was in town or something. And yeah, I just was, remember thinking, man, I'm in far too many motels in Vegas. It's crazy. Cause it's always a long walk too. I'm like, finally I just started telling people, meet me at the buffet. There we go. That's a good place to meet. But yeah, I've always been fascinated with motels. It is interesting. Coming or going, you know, coming or going.
Yeah, it's true. And the whole world, it's like airports or train stations. You meet everybody there.
Oh yeah.
Or you can meet everyone there just because they're transient places along your journey.
And people can have smiles or frowns, you know, smiles
That's
or
true.
Frown. I'm telling you, one of the strangest things I've ever seen is down by the American Apparel factory there in L.A., the L.A. Greyhound station. There is, I would used to go there.
Oh, yes. I've
been
there.
People watch. Oh, my gosh.
That whole area is changing, too, because
it's growing, isn't it, from what I understand?
Yeah, there's a lot of development down there just because there was space, you know? A lot of these, I don't know, factories and whatnot are being converted into, I don't even know what they're being converted into, and then all that, like, one-story buildings, the swaths of it that are just becoming high-rise condos and... It's crazy.
Well, yeah, it happens. It happens. It's always, it seems wherever I've moved to, this is probably one of the first areas I've moved to that, I usually wind up like in San Diego. I lived in a neighborhood called Hillcrest, which is kind of like a North Hollywood vibe, or West Hollywood vibe, I should say. And it's funny because you lived it. I always avoid these places because there's nice stuff. You know, I'm like, oh, I like going to a crepe place for, you know, dinner or whatever.
Right.
But then the gentrification happens. It gets, yeah. As soon as you start seeing those three-wheeled strollers with moms jogging behind them, you're like, oh, this neighborhood's done.
Yeah, the neighborhood's changing. It's true.
Oh, it happens. It happens. But, you know, it's just part of it. Part of it. So the next track, this is with Jeff Perlman. Tell us about this, Tender.
Mm-hmm. Tender is a new EP I just put out. The songs that Jeff and I wrote for it, we wrote last year. So we did sort of soft releases on Bandcamp of Winter in California. We didn't really necessarily do a release for Tender, but we'd written them. And we're still writing other songs. We actually have a country little ditty that we wanted to start recording. And this is the backstory behind the Tender EP. Is I'm going to Americana Fest with to play a couple showcases and to sing with two showcase artists in the festival. And I hadn't technically released anything that sounded like it might fit in with Americana Fest in a very long time. So I was like, I have to put together some sort of a quick pressing of an EP that has a roots rock or Western vibe to it. So I had these two songs, which you could kind of loosely put in those categories. And then I had this song that's been living on a hard drive, basically, because it was written for an art magazine called Esopus. And I never really released it other than that. But it's got a very dark, creepy, Western-y vibe to it. So I was like, okay, there's three songs. They show a difference in how I sing three different ways. They all could loosely be American, Americana. So let's just do it. And that's how that EP came together. Jeff and I met, I think we'd actually played a couple of multi-songwriter showcases early on when I went to LA. And then at some point I was playing a house concert and someone recommended, oh, you should get Jeff to play with you. And then we started playing regularly together in my band, and then we started writing together, and it all flowed very easily. He's very busy. I do a lot of co-writing and, you know, stuff too, so we don't always get to play together. But, you know, we're very complementary as performers and writers together. It works very easily and well. And so that's the background on Tender. We just decided I kind of had this chorus lyrically written out. I didn't have a melody to it. And at first I was thinking, let's go for like an Everly Brothers early country vibe. But then we started playing around with, he's like, well, why don't we just do a play on, basically the chords are, there are many songs, but one of the songs that's most famously those chords are also in is Here, There, and Everywhere by the Beatles. So we had the chords. But we're like, well, why don't we try it as a soul song, like Otis Redding style? And then it became that song. And he has a great friend named Alex Budman who did all the horns for it. And so it just has that great Try a Little Tenderness or the Commitment soundtrack vibe. And I like the way it came out. You know, it isn't like a pop, like the biggest pop song, but it's a great like soul roots ditty. And it's got a good groove, you know, and I play it live, even if it's not with like the horns or whatever. I see people start to dance and sway. It's kind of sexy. And so I'm like, well, that's a good thing.
Nice.
People always love to like dance with their beer, you know?
Right.
I'm like, yay,
right.
I have one that isn't a depressing breakup song, you know?
oh, that's
I got
awesome.
That genre tapped, baby.
Oh man. Well, here it is. Let's play. This is Tender, and I think you guys are going to like this. Check it out.
Do
There it was, Tender. That is a cool track. Very soulful.
Thank you.
I dig that, Emily. Very, very nice. Hey, we were just talking, and I hate to do it to you, Emily, but we have to. I'm going to have you repeat everything you just told.
I was asking folks. Here's what
Go ahead, Emily. Go ahead. Tell everybody where they can pick.
I was going to say you said Jamie says. So, Emily, where can people pick up all this music? And I was like, well, let me tell you a couple places. The first place you could stop to find out all things Emily, because there's more to me than just music, and it's a great place to start, is my website, which is www.emilyzuzik.com, and that's E-M-I-L-Y-Z-U-Z-I-K. And from there, there's links to my SoundCloud, to my Instagram, to my Twitter, to my Facebook music page. But in regards to the shopping, there's also a link on my website for all the records I've made and where you can buy them. But you can also go to emilyzuzik.bandcamp.com for some of them. Most of the recordings are on iTunes. Most of them are on Amazon. Most of them are Spotify. Pandora plays a lot of my records. I'm not so hip to the other socials and that, like, I don't know so much about Deezer or, you know, the ones that are overseas, but I think my stuff is distributed on them. I guess they are, because I get little income streams on my BMI checks, but that's a good place to start. You know, you can find me on iTunes. You can find me on Bandcamp. You can find me. I have a Reverb Nation page. You know,
nice.
If you type in Emily Zuzik and you get the spelling right, you pretty much everything that comes up is probably related to me, unless it's like I'm affiliated with some other thing, or, you know, they grouped me in a group of like female singer-songwriters and there's some other person that comes up. But because Zuzik isn't a very popular name. It's not like you're dealing with Joe Smith and it's like, oh, which Joe Smith is it? So, yeah, you can pretty much rest assured that if it's Emily Zuzik, musician that also has been in New York or L.A., that you found her.
Nice. Now, you're heading to Nashville in a couple weeks, right?
I am. I'm very excited about this because I haven't been in over a decade. And I'm told, first of all, that the city's completely changed. And I'm going for Americana Fest, which is kind of like the Americana South by Southwest. So I'm very excited.
Nice.
I'm going. There's a lot of my friends who are in the musical scene that I currently habitat who are going as well. And many of us will be performing on the 14th of September at the California Country Social, which is co-sponsored by the Alternate Route. It's an official Americana Fest day party event, but it's free and you don't need a badge to get in. And I'll be singing a set of my own stuff, and I'll be singing backgrounds with one of my co-writers, Ted Russell Camp. And then I will also be doing background vocals on Ted's Americana showcase that night and singer AJ Hobbs' showcase on Saturday night. I may also be doing some radio with him in the morning. And I think I just set up something like a day party on Saturday at a place called D's Country Cocktail Lounge, which sounds awesome.
Wow.
And Margot Price recommends it as her like watering hole. So I'm like, all right, well, if Margot likes it, I am in good company. So yeah, I'm going to Nashville. I'm super psyched. It's also going to be like the longest time I've been away from my daughter. So it'll be a little crazy.
No.
So, yeah,
it'll be
fine,
they have FaceTime
like,
and all that. You'll be able to talk to her.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. I'll probably be dialing in. But it's just interesting. I haven't done this long of a trip related to music in at least 6 years. And
you're back into it.
I am.
That's awesome.
It took me a while, but I'm back into it. It feels great.
That's cool. That's a good thing. Now, I have to ask. We've talked a little bit about it throughout the show. Your upcoming record, now I'm not putting any pressure, I'm not putting your feet to the fire or anything, but the reason I'm asking is I want to hear more. Any idea when you think that'll, you think first
it'll
of the year?
It'll not appear this year. It'll at the earliest appear sometime next year, because There are some songs ready to go, but a lot of it is not finessed. And a lot of the songs are not quite worked out. And I also don't know which ones are definitely going to make the cut. And I don't know who's going to be the players on it. I have a lot of people to choose from that I really like playing with. And I want to be as disciplined about how I put it together as I am with how I choose the songs and how I write the songs. It goes down the line of like, how can I do this? But I also don't want to get stuck in that, you know, Angelina's is an 8-song record, one of which is 2 songs, I think, are collaborations on it. And that album took 3 years to make. You know? So I don't want it to take that long. But you also have to come up with the money. And, you know, especially when you have to like pay the players and book the room and get the people in the room. I mean, once you have the songs worked out and everybody knows their parts, you could probably cut the tunes in like a day or two and then do overdubs. Right. And then it comes together pretty quickly. And then you're like, oh, I have a record done. Now what? And then you got to come up with the money for all the other stuff. So
right.
I'm also interested in potentially looking for a publisher to work with, as well as perhaps a label to put it out, because I've put out every record I've ever done.
Right.
And there's really wonderful parts of that experience that you don't get when you're on a label, but I'd really kind of like to find someone to partner with, a company to partner with, to do this on another level where I'm not
right.
So point man on it.
And yeah, so, doing all the heavy lifting. Yeah. Now, we also, before we run out of time, I want to mention we have to give a big shout out to Epiphone Guitars, officially endorsed you.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come
about? Yeah, that happened. That was, oh my God, I think that came together 12 years ago.
Wow.
Well, it's funny because we just talked about Nashville, and the woman who I'm staying with was the woman who put me in touch with the Epiphone people. She used to run a label out of Connecticut. Her name is Meredith DeMena. And she'd been in a bunch of bands. I've toured with her. And she knew Kara Hogan at Epiphone, and they were looking. She found out through whatever means she heard it that they were looking to endorse some female artists. And she was already in talks with them to do one with her current band. And she's like, "You got to meet my friend, because she already owns 2 Epiphones, and she's also a model. So, you know, she's a great artist, blah, blah, blah." So they got in touch with me, and I got my first electric out of the deal. I'd never had an electric guitar before, which I still have it. I don't play it a ton because I just tend to play acoustic more. But, I did their 2005 Epiphone, Ladies of Epiphone calendar. So I'm an Epiphone calendar girl. And over the years, because Epiphone is owned by Gibson, I've done some Gibson events too. I was involved in some video that they were doing for a line of guitars that were Epiphone based, they were at a lower price point, but they were kind of like higher quality luthiership, but at a, you know, $200 price point retail. And so they had a bunch of their artists kind of play them, and then they were filmed and talk about them as sort of like artist endorsement.
Nice.
So they've been, and the best part about the Epiphone Gibson thing is when you're on the road in major cities is the acoustic loaner program, which I am such a fan of. They've loaned me guitars in London on several occasions. When I'd come out to LA, when I was living in New York, they always set me up with a guitar here. I even tried to like jimmy out some situation in Nashville, but it just sounds like with Americana Fest, it's going to be too tricky. And I know so many people who are driving out there with rigs. I'm just like, I'm just going to borrow a guitar so I don't have to fly with one from California. but yeah, they're great for that.
Yeah. That's cool. You know, because you're not risking
and I play a Gibson,
your guitar.
You know, I play a Gibson and I have like 2 or 3 Epis. So, you know, they've been good to
me. That works out nice. Very, very
mm-hmm.
cool. What is about that time, Emily? I want to, it went by quick. It went by so quick.
Because we both talk.
I want to say, That's true. We could just keep it going. No, we can't. We can't. It's out of the thing.
We
but,
both have to go to bed at some point.
Exactly. I want to thank you for taking time out to be on the show, man. You rock. You're awesome.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. This was really fun.
Yeah. I can't wait to do it again.
Me too. Well, when that country record's done and it's out, we'll talk again.
Sounds good. Hey, break a leg in Nashville. That's going to be a really cool thing.
Thank you very much.
I will try
not to physically do it because I am a little clumsy, but I will do it in the spirit of breaking a leg.
In the spirit of theater. That's right.
Yeah,
theater. Well, folks, that's going to about wrap it up for us tonight. In about an hour, this show will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms. Well, we'll even be on Pinterest. How about that? It's true. I'm telling you, it's just zany around here.
Find me there.
But most
I got one of those pages, too.
Oh, that's very cool. It's so funny. I used to, before the show, I would scroll through my Facebook feed, and ever since this year I find that difficult to do before a show because I try to be in a good mood, and I've become addicted to Pinterest. I'm like, oh, I can make that out of a palette. I had no idea, and so now I have a big folder with all these potential ideas that I'm trying to get to on Pinterest.
My Pinterest is really sad. I don't use it nearly enough. I use my Instagram way more, but my Pinterest is basically like photographs of creepy places that I think are awesome looking and hairstyles I want to get. And that's it. That's all that's in my Pinterest.
That's all my friends on Pinterest, pretty much. Oh, man.
Well, there you go.
Well, that's we'll also be, ladies and gentlemen, on iTunes on their podcast page for free. If you are listening to the show in the future on iTunes, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. It keeps us up at the top of the page. The advertisers love it. It makes my life a lot easier. And, hey, we keep the lights on around here. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We will be back. What is today? Today is Wednesday. We will be back tomorrow on Thursday. We've got a fantastic band out of Louisiana, Ben Labatt and the Happy Devil. Got a new album out, and I think you guys are really going to like it. Cool. Thanks again, Emily. You're awesome.
Thank you, Jamie. It was great being on the show, and thank you to all your listeners.
Absolutely. You keep making that crazy music. I love it. It's fantastic.
Awesome.
Cool. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.